Welcome to our podcast series, Capgemini Leadership Speaks, where we bring to you deep insights from thought leaders and luminaries from across industries, startups, and academia. Today, we will talk specifically about industry and academia connect and the key benefits from such a collaboration. So now this podcast is first of a three-part series with IIT ISM Dhanbad. And joining me today is the very respected and illustrious professor, Dr. Rajiv Shekhar, Director of Indian Institute of Technology, ISM Dhanbad. A very, very warm welcome to you, sir. And I know that we have a lot of colleagues from IIT ISM Dhanbad, you know, who will be especially riveted to listen into every word from you.
Thank you very much.
And not to mention, you know, the entire IIT fraternity and others at large, you know, so it's a fraternity, isn't it? So for the rest of the listeners, my name is Nishit Srivastava. I'm the Chief Technology and Innovation Officer and the Head of Industry Hubs in Capgemini India, an IIT alumnus myself, and I will be the host for this podcast. Okay, now, so, you know, we're all seeing the impact that the raging pandemic is having on our daily lives, on the economy, as also in the society around us. We're witnessing the rise of the remote student with online content and tutelage, right? The rise of the remote worker, accompanied by a surge in the gig economy, right? And, you know, along with that, we're witnessing fundamental changes in the dynamics in learning, in operations, in strategies, and our outlook for the planet at large at the same time, right? So now we know that this pandemic will have an ongoing impact on how we conduct business, be they local or national or global, and how we will go about our routine practices. So with COVID-19 impacting our ability, right, to meet face-to-face, you know, organizations that are large and small are all looking to put new digital tools and initiatives to transform, stay connected and progress in order to survive, in order to innovate and grow resiliently, which is, you know, as you all know, a buzzword today. So today we'll share views around very specific topics, okay, in three parts. I think, you know, one is the industry-academic collaboration itself, its benefits. Two, our strategic approach towards implementing the components of the intelligent industry. Okay, and three, the role of the industry academia on sustainability and technology for society. Now, with that, Dr. Shekhar, you know, I'd like to just ask you, what are your views on industry and academic collaboration and how industries and institutes like IIT Dhanbad and the society can benefit from such a collaboration?
Thank you, Nishit. See, I think there is a very synergetic relationship between academia and industry. After all, graduates from niche institutions such as IITs and NITs populate companies such as Capgemini India. So you can see, so what we do here, the way we train here students at IITs has a direct impact on the functionality, efficiencies and the innovation ecosystem in companies. And see, the whole idea is together, work together to develop products which make the citizens in our country and other way and in other parts of the world healthy, comfortable and economically prosperous. Now I will talk a little bit from the academia side, and Mr. Srivastav can contribute from the industry. See, these days there is a lot of emphasis on product development. Normally, academia is associated with publications, and one of the major grounds of the industry is, you know, khali theoretical kaam hota hai. Very little practical work gets done. And in the recent IIT Council meeting, the Honorable Minister of Education stressed that product development has to be an important part of an IIT's R&D agenda. Now, how can a company help us? See, what I always feel is that in an IIT, the approach to research is very narrow. So when a new faculty joins, he or she normally continues with the work during during their PhD or postdoctoral fellowship. What we need to do is inculcate an entrepreneurial mindset among the faculty and students. Now, what do I mean by entrepreneurial mindset? It's not about opening a company. It's about the way you plan your research. And so the number one thing about planning your research is you have to find gaps in problem. You have to find gaps. And I'll give you a simple example. If you look at the automotive industry, what happened was over the years, the requirements for energy efficiency and pollution, the requirements were getting more and more stringent. And that offered an opportunity for researchers to work in that area. So that spotting an opportunity is a big thing. Second, to figure out how the needs of the society will develop, you know. So a classical example is an old example I wrote in my blog, is that of the graphical user interface, which is omnipresent now in all computers. You know, it was initially invented by Xerox, but they did not see the potential of GUI and Apple stole its thunder. So these are the two aspects. And as far as students are concerned, see, our smartest students are UG students. But if you go to any IIT, you conduct a business plan competition, you will hardly get an earth-shattering idea, you know, idea which I can say is the first in the world. And I also have been thinking that this entrepreneurial frame of mind has to be inculcated in our students also. So for example, when a student is studying, let's say Newton's first law, the student starts thinking, main isse kya bana sakta hu? So, and this requires a lot of training, and this is where industry can really help academia, you know, through when we have lectures, let's say in fluid mechanics or artificial intelligence. Our faculty normally have very limited industry experience, and when people like Nishit can come and lecture our students about the possibilities or what AI can do, what machine learning can do, how to approach solving a problem in its entirety so that you can come up with a product. In fact, one of the problems I always face is is important is, as a faculty, when we plan our problems, we never look at the problem in its totality. We look at only one part of the problem. We see how can we improve the functionality, for example. But we never look at the entire totality of the problems. You know, if you're trying to modify an existing technology, you have to think about retrofitting. You have to think about scale up. You have to think about environmental consideration. You have to think about mass manufacturing. So these aspects, I think, is something we are not capable or equipped to train or teach our students. This is something that can really come from the industry. So in short, since product development is the focus now, industry can play a big role in changing the mindset of our faculty and students in how they approach problem solving. This is from my side.
You know, I am, as I'm listening to you, right, I get transported to my final year dissertation, sir, you know, and the topic was expert systems, you know, which is a predecessor to what we have as artificial intelligence in so many ways. And you're absolutely right. You know, in those days, the access to any content was through the library and the books, right? I mean, there was no internet to be had, only some access that we had to universities overseas. You know, I completely agree with you, and especially also resonate with the point you make about entrepreneurship. Personally, I've also been an entrepreneur for nearly half of my career. And I can tell you, you know, other than the fact that, you know, it's about spotting the opportunity, which you spoke about, but you know, more importantly, whether or not it's commercially feasible or viable, right? I mentored a lot of, you know, IIT, the entrepreneur wings, and that part's missing, right? The commercial feasibility, the sensitivity to know that your idea ultimately needs to be a business, right? So, you know, but it's a character building exercise, right?
And so, I just wanted to make one clarification. This is the point I always try to make. I'm not saying it's about starting a business, it's about a mindset. You know, everybody may not have the risk-taking capability of starting a business right away. But let's say you have a company like Google or Amazon. These are very innovative companies, okay? And if you really want to go up the professional ladder, you know, you have to be a person who can come up with new ideas, new innovations, be it in cloud computing, be it in Android or whatever. So I am talking about the mindset, and you know, a lot of time it happens. It is always good that a student gets experience in an industry, so he has an idea about the industry. He knows how the world works. He knows about the finance. He knows about the marketing, etc. He can figure about customer preference, and then he can start off. So when I'm saying entrepreneurship, I'm talking about mindset, not about opening a company right away.
And I agree with that. You know, and I can tell you another person who wouldn't, who would agree with you wholeheartedly, who is a group CEO, Ayman Azad. I mean, you spoke about Google, which is a product and technology company, but Capgemini as a services, a consulting company, resonates with that thought, sir.
In fact, you know, I was going through Capgemini's website, and I was amazed in the number of areas. It is in, you know, telecom, healthcare, automotive, you know, you name it, and you are in there. So there is one industry which is missing, and I'll come to that later.
Okay, well, we'll get to all of that. So I can tell you, okay, just to extend the topic better, you know, see, from Capgemini perspective, okay, the co-innovations that we do with the academia are more of, you know, in areas which we call applied areas of research, right? So those with near-term and direct impact on society at large, for example, you know, in, let's say, the not-so-fragrant areas like sewage management using robotics. You know, we're doing that with IIT Madras, okay? As well as various parts of the industry value chain, like the one we're discussing, you know, currently doing with you, in fact, right? Around model-based systems engineering, or MBSE.
Hey.
And these research could be in areas of technology or engineering, in fact, even human interaction and design, right? You know, you spoke about GUI, it's everywhere, right? Graphic design and all of that, right, has come center stage now. And frankly, across all of these areas, right, we find very robust symbiosis between all parties. Which is great for the faculty, right? Great for the student community on getting a deeper viability and feasibility view into the world that they're stepping in, and great for the industry and society also at large, right? So,
right.
You know, so overall, right? And that brings me to the next, you know, part of our discussion, you know, Industry 4.0 is being talked about. So in the context of intelligent industry, okay, which to me, in summary, brings together a new age of networked and data-driven and self-governing value systems for organizations that focus on manufacturing and, you know, supply chain management, right? So, you know, the present phase is not just about investing in new technologies and tools to improve manufacturing efficiency, but to revolutionize to a digital ecology itself, right, for sustainability. So from your experience, Dr. Shekhar, and in your view, right, how do you believe institutions like IIT Dhanbad can contribute towards intelligent industry?
First, I would like to answer this question in general. You know, the role of academia has always been there, and I think when you're talking of sustainability, the most sustainable thing is life. And the collaboration between Oxford University and AstraZeneca to produce Covishield is one such example. One of my contemporaries from IIT Kanpur, who later became a professor in Stanford, Rajiv Motwani. Unfortunately, he is no more. He was a mentor for Larry Page and Sergey Brin while they were in Stanford. Right. And another professor, Prof. Paul Raj, was one of the inventors of MIMO wireless communications. And even in IIT, ISM, what we are working on compact antennas, and one area where we are working on is wireless communication in underground mine. It's a completely different, it's a very different, difficult problem. And what we have here is the wireless, the waves are actually absorbed by core. So we are working around to develop a technology. And essentially, if you look at IIT ISM Dhanbad, I will give examples later, is our niche areas are petroleum, coal mining, geology, geophysics, which is you can, and mineral engineering. So the later four departments can be clubbed in as earth sciences. So what we are looking at is innovations in this area. Unfortunately, you know, we are not very strong as far as AI and machine learning is concerned. But we right now have a technology innovation hub. This is a government of India sponsored program, which sort of funds IIT. So, for example, we have funds to the tune of 110 crores, and the whole idea is that we become the vision and technology leader in developing cyber physical systems in exploration and mining. And this is one area we have the domain expertise. Okay, and what we are looking at is interaction with companies such as Cape Gemini, where we can leverage their expertise in AI and ML. And in the process, both of us will learn from each other and hopefully come up with products which can rival those of Caterpillar, Volvo, etc.
You know, you spoke about that, and I get reminded of a very typical problem that we solved not too long ago. So you obviously know about the Faraday cages, right? Mm. And I can't talk about what client and what scenario, but in a Faraday cage, right, the electromagnetic wave, you know, cannot travel. Now, it's a serious health and safety issue, because these could be in very remote areas. They could be subterranean, they could be offshore, you know, and how to maintain communication and ensure that the worker working in such conditions, under such conditions, is safe, right? Because by principle, you have disallowed traditional, conventional communication mechanisms,
right?
So yeah, there is so much to be done, and I, you know, frankly, sir, I do look forward to innovating more with you. But that was a very, very nice and a fine example that you offered. And with all this, right, I get reminded of, you know, there's a program that I launched early this year. We call that Terraform, which literally implies and means earth shaping. Okay. It's about the ecological balance and evolution in a sustainable manner. And the objective, right, is of the program in my world, right, of innovation and industry, is to bring the spirit of a positive planet right in the center of all our industry solutions and innovation. We've all heard the phrase, right? The whole is greater than sum of its parts. It's attributed to Aristotle, okay? And whether or not that's true, I believe in it, okay? You know, and hence open innovation as a concept. I'm a massive votary, a huge supporter of that. Okay? My entire team is focused on that concept of open innovation, right? Which is exemplified in what we're doing with you, right? Now, my next question, sir, is on those lines. While we're working on deep research, right, and I hope to continue on the lines that you mentioned, for example, on several other, you know, areas, how do you, as an institution, bring more benefits together as partners, right, to our society. The more on the society side, the societal impact side. We spoke about the industry impact. We spoke about innovation, entrepreneurship, and things like those. What about the society at large?
I see society benefits from whatever we do. One obviously is if you can make more efficient products at lower cost. And the second obviously is, taking care of the environment. Carbon capture was one of the things. And the beautiful synergy is here, especially the students, our young minds are I might pardon me for saying this, are not constrained by the requirements of the corporate culture, so they can let their imagination soar. And again, industry has its own niche. Basically they know how to get things done in a very simple way. How to make things, how to get things done. I mean, that is your specialty. So, and I can think of several examples here. When you're talking of cost, when you're talking about environment. See, obviously I'll always come back to mining and exploration because that's a niche area. One of the biggest challenges in exploration, it's very expensive. It's extremely an expensive operation. And one of the problems is, and it is too simple a requirement. How do you accurately identify a deposit, a mineral deposit at low cost means you actually drill bore holes to check, and these bore holes are very expensive. So how do you minimize the number of bore holes? And how do you accurately represent the quantity, the reserves, quantity of reserves? Now we have a lot of data. And what is important is to reduce the uncertainty here. AI plays a good role. We have data. We and let's say our collaborators like GSI. But many of us do not know that much about AI and ML. Clearly, I can see. And this will obviously benefit society in terms of lower cost. One of the biggest pollution spreaders are, open cast mining. And I can see some beautiful examples here. See, you have that excavator, you are blasting, you have this excavator, all generates dust. And when the dumpers, they take the coal, it generates. And we can set up a beautiful system, we can set up these things. For example, monitors, sensors that can measure pollutant concentration. And the moment it's above a critical value, it will reduce the rate of excavation, or then you start watering the road so that you do not have that much of dust. And the other thing that is going to come up in a big way later on is deep underground mining. Now, when you're talking of going 1 kilometers down, you have a lot of problems. You have safety, you have the issues of the wall caving down, you have issues of noxious gases. It's going to be totally autonomous. Not only would you need wireless communication, you would need autonomous excavators. Okay, so these are two, three areas where we work together, and it will not only lower cost, and it will also, what it will do is it will make the at least Dhanbad the better place to live in.
That's what I love about our podcast today. It is deep in real things, and I completely and utterly in alignment with the example that you offered. Surely there is so much more that we will do. I'm sure the conversations will continue for the purpose of this podcast, though I will have to conclude, and we can continue our discussions after. So for our listeners, right, so thank you so much to Dr. Rajiv Shekhar, Director of IIT ISM Dhanbad, for sharing his insights with us and joining me on Leadership Speak. In a very nice way, enriching our conversation with insights from the industry and institution, but also very local to where the institute is. And for my listeners, right, as I mentioned earlier, this was the first of a three-part podcast series. The next two podcasts will engage some of the other project team members, including the faculty and student interns who are working with us, okay, talking about how what we're doing with IIT Dhanbad will impact the aerial as well as just terrestrial worlds in different areas, in different contexts, including drones and aviation to autonomous vehicles and such. Okay, so thank you, listeners, for joining us here on Leadership Speak today. I had great fun engaging Dr. Shekhar. I'm sure you enjoyed listening to him too. And please leave your comments and inquiries in the comment section. It helps us a great deal in bringing more relevant topics to you. Good day, everybody. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Thank you very much, Mr.